I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We begin tonight with Donald Trump's long line of magical financial saviors. From his father to Deutsche Bank to other financiers, Trump has always had financial rescuers swoop in and come to the rescue when he messes up, which has happened a lot. The latest is billionaire Don Hanke. He's the owner of the insurance company that just put up the $175 million bond in Trump's New York civil fraud case. According to Forbes, Hanke's company, Knight Specialty Insurance, is the one that initiated the deal with Trump. Hanke told Forbes that Trump's collateral to secure the loan was a combination of cash and investment-grade bonds. You may wonder why Hanke, or really anyone, would want to put up such a large sum of money for Trump, especially now.
Especially now. Joy Reid of MSNBC, that Donald Trump's getting financial help. Why would someone be willing to put up a $175 million bond for him? I don't mind her asking the question. But if you're going to ask that question, there's another nagging question you are ignoring, and no, Joy Reid is not going to bring it up. But I will. Let me set the stage for you first. Glad to have you on board. Here we are, the first hour of two of Larry Connors USA back-to-back. We're here every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video for you. You can watch the program. News Talk STL. Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. And, of course, remember, if you miss anything, you can always pull up a video and our audio podcast at LarryConnorsUSA.com or Larry Connors USA Facebook. We make it available in any way you want it, for whatever time. And I appreciate you not only watching, listening as we're on the air, but later if need be because of your schedule. And please remember to always continue to support our sponsors. You may not need their particular product today, but when you do, the reason they're on here is to be front of mind for you and reminding you that they are strong patriots and supporting Larry Connors USA and News Talk STL. So we appreciate you continuing to support them as they support us. Let me put in again a footnote for you that tomorrow evening at the Police Officers Association, that's at 3710 Hampton near Chippewa in St. Louis, the St. Louis GOP will be gathering. And I will also be showing up and delivering a few remarks and taking questions. So if you can get by, it all begins tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock, again, the St. Louis Police Officers Association building, 3700 block of Hampton near Chippewa. And again, I look forward to seeing you if you can make it. So there we have the remarks from Joy Reid. Why would anybody want to give Donald Trump, especially now, $175 million for his bond? That's a lot of money. True. Remember, it was going to be a $500-plus million bond until the appeals process and his judges pushed the judge and they got it back down to $175. Donald Trump right now is under attack on so many different levels. And you know why? Because I think they're beginning to sense more and more they do not stand a chance against the man. They've been trying to slur and slander him all through the term when he was in office, all through the previous election with Biden, and starting again because they thought we could lose this thing. We could lose it. James Carville's indicated it's possible Biden could lose. Obama's been quoted by sources as saying he's afraid Biden will F it up. I mean, there are all kinds of folks on the inside that word comes out that they are in fear. So that's why you're going to see them begin to ramp up on anything and everything. Joy Reid picking up on this bail bond money. They want to put up $175 million for Donald Trump? Really? Joy, you made also the point that he's getting all this from a multi-billionaire. Did you, Joy, mention at any point that Hunter Biden had his taxes, his back taxes of $1.5 million? That's a far cry from 175. I will grant you that. But this was a case where a guy had evaded taxes and is still facing charges on it. We're not talking about avoiding taxes. That's lawful. If you can find a loophole and you've got an ability to avoid paying a tax, by all means do so. But when you purposely hide income and you're not reporting it in that massive amount, I'm not talking about a few dollars here and there, but you're just not even bothering to pay your taxes. You're spending the money you could pay for your taxes on your lavish lifestyle that Hunter Biden had, hookers and cocaine and whatever else that came with it. And then you've got Hollywood moguls and George Soros supporters and others that are all dumping money into the Biden coffers and also then paying off Hunter Biden's tax bill so he won't have to go to basically the poorhouse to begin to pay it out. And why would you do that for a man that's tied to so many different shell companies that are raising big questions that are also tied to daddy, the big guy? Joy Reid, did you ask that question? No, of course not. Larry, once again, you wasted your breath and the audience time by asking such a stupid question, but I had to ask it. So, again, they're going to try to find whatever they can to destroy Donald Trump. And they've got a new opportunity. John Kelly had served as a time for a chief of staff for Donald Trump. Well, CNN and NNN got him to sit down because, again, if you're going to be favorable and say good things that CNN and NNN likes, especially if it's going to destroy Trump, they're going to give you a lot of airtime. Here's the latest example.
Donald John Trump.
No other president has had so many former top aides making such harsh public assessments. Most recently, Cassidy Hutchinson.
I think that Donald Trump is the most grave threat that we will face to our democracy in our lifetime and potentially in American history.
She joins a growing chorus.
I think he's unfit for office.
He will always put his own interests and gratifying his own ego ahead of everything else.
Thank you.
And today, Trump's longest-serving former chief of staff, John Kelly, is chiming in with his harshest criticism yet. In an exclusive statement to CNN, Kelly says about Trump, "What can I add that has not already been said?" Calling President Trump, quote, "A person that has no idea what America stands for and has no idea what America is all about."
Now, do you really believe that Trump has no idea what America stands for and what America is all about? Really? If you listen to the leftists, of course, the regressive progressives, or progressive regressive, it works either way, doesn't it? They know what's best for America. You don't. You don't. You're in the flyover country and you have common sense. You don't know anything. You're not the elite, the specially educated, indoctrinated. You are one of the ones who are just willing to go with the flow. So you don't really know what's good for America. So they've got Kelly making these remarks in their CNN exclusive. Now, assuming that he's actually said what they're reporting, I haven't seen him come forward and deny it, so I assume that he's quoted correctly. But again, this is just another way. What can we do to dismantle this train that's barreling down on us? We're in the tunnel. We see light at the far end, but that is the train fast approaching. It's Donald Trump. We're down to slim chances and none. Or, oh, rats, we've been run over by the Trump train. So we got to find a way to break him apart. And as they begin in that CNN report, what other president has so many inside their inner circle been critical of him, like we have with this case? I'm not even going to go down that rabbit hole. Let me just ask this. What other time in history have we seen mainstream media, state-controlled media, leftist media, reporters ignoring their basic duties as a journalist and looking for absolutely destructive material just because it will make them seem in higher esteem with their bosses and, of course, with a lot of the public? Not everyone, obviously, but the ones they hobnob with and share cocktails with. So you can look around and find other cases of the past, but never a case like this where basically the, quote, press has been weaponized against one man. And again, I'm going to leave it to you. I don't care as far as my opinion goes as to what's happening with him. If you love him or hate him, or you're indifferent. I've told you before, I've got a relative, I pointed it out directly, a sister. She absolutely hates Trump. And my brother said, you can't have a discussion with her about Trump. And I said, well, then don't. Talk about other things, unifying things, grandkids, vacation time. You don't have to go and fight everybody at every corner. You just don't have to do that. They live their life, you live yours. So they go out, they look for these, and they find a thread, and they begin to unravel it, and this we can use to put around Trump's neck and strangle him. So once again, the CNN report on more damning information they got from former Chief of Staff John Kelly.
Kelly describes Trump as, quote, a person that thinks those who defend their country in uniform or are shot down or seriously wounded in combat or spend years being tortured as POWs are all, quote, suckers because, quote, there is nothing in it for them. A person that did not want to be seen in the presence of military amputees because, quote, it doesn't look good for me. A person that demonstrated open contempt for a Gold Star family, for all Gold Star families, on TV during the 2016 campaign. And rants that our most precious heroes, who gave their lives in America's defense, are, quote, losers, and wouldn't visit their graves in France.
Now, we've heard that story several times before. And, of course, there have been other stories that said, well, they canceled it. Trump didn't, but they canceled it because of weather. I don't know the story. I don't know the facts. Let me put it that way. I was not there, and probably neither were you. John Kelly supposedly was, and this is supposedly his story. We do know about Trump going after a Gold Star father who was basically criticizing Trump. But it wasn't after all Gold Star families. And really this. If Trump hates the military so much, why do so many in the military rally around him? And he comes off, when he was president, off the helicopter or Air Force One and greets those at the base of the steps with a salute each time. Obama would come off with a coffee in his right hand. Well, I can't salute. I got coffee in my hand. And Biden just kind of halfway. But they're going to continue to generate these stories again because I fear they think we're going to lose if we don't do something. Well, the leftist media is going to carry the water for progressive regressives, regressive progressives, trying to destroy Trump. He will continue to hit buttons that he knows resonate with many, if not most, Americans.
With your support, we're going to win the Wisconsin Republican primary in a landslide that'll be in a few hours. And November 5th, we are going to win this state. We're going to win the White House, and we are going to save our country. We're going to save our country. And what the hell was Biden thinking when he declared Easter Sunday to be Trans Visibility Day? Such total disrespect to Christians, and November 5th is going to be called something else. You know what it's going to be called? Christian Visibility Day, when Christians turn out in numbers that nobody has ever seen before. Let's call it Christian Visibility Day, all right?
That's the former president last night in Wisconsin and talking about the snafu from the White House over the weekend. Now, March 31st since 2009 has been designated by those who want to embrace it, Transgender Visibility Day. And this year, and it will happen about every 30-plus years, it happened to actually fall on Easter Sunday. And the White House put out a statement on Good Friday on the death of the crucifixion of Christ. Again, a slap in the face of Christians around the world. On Good Friday, stating, we declare Sunday, March 31st, Transgender Visibility Day. Had a big display on the White House page. When it came to Easter Sunday, they put up a little, we wish you a blessed Easter. I don't even think they said blessed. Very small little, just noting that it's Easter. So they didn't have any control over the fact that Easter fell on that date. But if you're going to make the proclamation calling attention March 31, you should have made it on Thursday anyway. So you can't say it was set specifically for Easter because it had been in place before Easter came on this March 31st. But I'm telling you, I'm convinced that many in the White House and those of I'm trying to find a nice word to say about them. Basically, they were joyful it fell on Easter. And, of course, then we have the issue of about abortion. And Donald Trump being in Wisconsin and then also Michigan trying to pull in more votes, make things better for him, well, again, we've got a chance for CNN and NN to find someone who can oppose Trump, especially on abortion issues. That would be Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer.
We cannot forget his actions speak louder than any words he's uttering yesterday or tomorrow. He's the one that put three court justices on the Supreme Court that overruled Roe v. Wade, put out the Dobbs decision, and has created a patchwork of rights and freedoms across this country that people are speaking out against and are now trying to take to the ballots in their individual states. So let's be very clear that the reason we've got this mess is because of Donald Trump.
Good, and I'm glad we do. Yes, it's a patchwork of laws right now. And some are trying to codify it into their state constitutions. Let the states make that decision. But Ian Gretchen Whitmer claiming that she's speaking on behalf of the families. No one is speaking on behalf of the unborn, Gretchen.
What matters is what the parents and their doctor agree is whatever is right for them, how they define it. That's the only one whose opinion should matter. Not a judge, not a politician, not a governor from a different state. That's what the fundamental question is here. Are we going to empower Americans to make their own health care decisions and make decisions about how they go about starting their family and whether or not they go about starting a family? And that's what I'm fighting for here in Michigan.
Yeah, but the young babies, it might be girls even, might want to plan their decision. They don't get to make that decision, do they? Next hour. It might be worth reviewing what was known as the goals of communism, as noted in a 1958 book by a former FBI agent. That's next hour. Before this hour is over, a former ESPN star explains how she was directed how to interview Biden. And up next, my guest will talk about banning transgenders from female sports when some say it's hateful. Really? Oh, we got a lot. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you those droppings are more than a nuisance, they can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. 4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton, and I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So we have the situation where Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers vetoed what is obviously a common sense women's sports bill that would keep athletics in grades K through 12 separated by biological sex. What is wrong with the idea that that wouldn't be the way it should be? It's the way it's always been. Until the woke came along. They're the walking zombie woke is what they are, and they're basically destroying our nation and our children. So Wisconsin Governor Evers, again, is doing this against the Wisconsin legislature. Both chambers of the Wisconsin legislature voted to keep athletics and grades K through 12 separated by biological sex. You can claim what you want to be, but you're not going to play in female sports if you're born male. That should not be such a stretch of an imagination of reality, should it? That should be basic fact. Just as sure as there's a difference between a bull and a cow. Now, some of you may not know there is a difference. But I'm telling you this, if you go around any farm and you go out and you try to milk a bull, you're going to find out the difference pretty damn fast. And, of course, part of this is, again, following the Biden administration that has suddenly recognized that we got a good issue here that we can build more transgender visibility and defeat young girls who are trying their best to gain a scholarship and compete at a level where they think they've worked hard to earn. If you've ever been in sports of any type, regardless of your gender, if you really were wanting to be diligent about it and you really wanted to achieve being the best, if not one of the best, you put in long, hard hours. You made a lot of sacrifices. Think about how many young women in high school are competing in various sports from basketball to lacrosse to volleyball to swimming, track, trying their best to get a scholarship because that's the only way they're going to get to go to college. Their parents don't have the money otherwise, or at least this might also give them a chance to get a better college, a better university, better education. And here comes some 6'5" guy that still has a 5 o'clock shadow, and has genitals that he has not cut off and claims to be, I'm a woman. And yet when you see him, he's got male pattern baldness starting. And he comes in, not only defeats the girl in that meet, but he ends up knocking her out of a chance at competition to be a scholar athlete. There's nothing right about that. Now, the Biden administration, recognizing how viable this has gotten, how hot it has gotten, and thinking, well, this could be costing votes, and there are more they're actually going to acknowledge. There are more that are against pushing men into female sports than there are those for it. Oh, those for it are very vocal and threatening. If you speak out against them, they'll come down on you hard. So right now, because of the pushback, the backlash, the Biden administration's announcing it's going to delay the release of a new Title IX sports rule. That sports rule was going to say everybody can compete on the same level. His veto is probably going to have some, I would hope, lasting consequences. Sarah Parshall Perry, we've had on before. She's a Heritage senior legal analyst. She was in a meeting and apparently got delayed, so we won't be able to get her input, it looks like, on this. But let me break down some more of it for you. The latest survey, and I think this is a Gallup survey, shows that most Americans, 70%, favor keeping sports separated by a biological sex. That's across the board. That's not referenced just K through 12. So that means 30% might be in favor of it, or maybe some of the 30% are not sure. I don't know how you can not be sure. But let's say all 30% that are not counted in the 70% that equals the 100 total, they are absolutely all about men competing against females in sports that involve endurance and muscles and things of that nature. Now, if you want to have a chess match and you want guys to compete in the girls' chess match, there should be no biological ability that makes the male better chess player. Should be. But when you come to a physical contest of any type, there is obviously an advantage for the men. Can some females beat some guys? Absolutely. You know, for many years, there was a belief that in fire departments that they could not really have a sense to have girls, I should say women, in the fire department because they couldn't carry a body of maybe 180 pounds as an average down four flights of stairs or whatever the test was. Well, some women train hard, and yes, they can. And I know several women are capable of it, and I don't think I'm capable of it anymore, though. I'll have to admit, once I approaching 60, I'm not quite the same as I was at 20. Who is? Well, maybe Arnold Schwarzenegger, or not. But there's a reality that begins to set in that, you know, despite your best ability, you're not what you were. And women who are wanting to serve in that capacity, if they can do it and train hard for it and end up getting that position, then they should have the opportunity for it. I'll take note of something you often have heard and seen over the years when it comes to U.S. Marines and advertising. U.S. Marines looking for a few good men. That has kind of been displaced. And just talking about the honor, the praise, and respect for Marines. Because there are a lot of women in the Marines now. And if you're going to build a campaign looking for a few good men, that's taking those women off the target for potential candidates. And most female Marines I have met, they more than hold their own. But you have to prove it. If you had a military division and you're going to divide it simply on gender, you're not doing the best for your country. You want the best qualified. And yes, there's a good reason to have females. Now, in the beginning, of course, they were not going to be put in combat roles. Well, that's changed over recent years, obviously, as combat roles are no longer a full frontal line dividing the enemy from the defenders or the other way around. The lines are crossed constantly. Some now, women are fighter pilots. They're chopper pilots, rescue pilots. They serve as medics, as do men. They're surgeons. There's nothing a woman can't do. But when it comes to physical strength and ability, for most, on an average, you put a female up against a man, they're going to lose, unless they're really trained and are better prepared than the man is. So Governor Evers takes what is a common sense women's sports bill accepted by both houses and chambers, I should say, of his Congress and his state, and basically spits in their face. They said we should not have men compete against girls, females from grade K through 12. That's not even addressing the university level. And everyone says, no, that doesn't fit our idea of giving transgender visibility and viability. So to the rest of the 70% of those Americans who favor such common sense approach, you're going to get just too bad, too bad. You know, I'm going to, in the second hour, I mentioned a moment ago, in the second hour, I'm going to go through 45 tenets of the Communist Manifesto, if you want to call it that, that was outlined by an FBI agent in 1958 in his book, Naked Communism. And when I read through some of those, you're going to hear correlations between what I was just discussing, how we're tearing our nation apart by division of genders and recreating genders, just as we're recreating laws to benefit opening up our borders. It all fits a pattern. We'll look at that. Got more to come, and especially an interview with Biden and how it was scripted.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
Even China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At newstalkstl.com.
This is moving season for many homeowners and businesses. Contact my sponsor, McGuire Moving and Storage. McGuire will come to you, give you a free, honest appraisal. McGuire, fully licensed, insured, local or long distance, with climate-controlled storage. McGuire Moving and Storage has the Larry Connors USA seal of approval. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
It's terrible, or it's kind of bummy that they closed it, because I feel like Black graduation, it really celebrates the achievement. Like, just because given the history of like Texas and UT alone, Black students were all not always welcome here, or not like wanted to graduate from here. So having Black graduation is kind of a celebration of the history and of given everything Black, like the Black community in Austin, especially UT Austin, has gone through. And then also UT, while being diverse, is not very diverse in the Black student Black student area. So Black graduation is a way for all of us to kind of find like our own little niche community. Same thing with like Latino graduation, I assume. Although there is a bigger Latino population, it's still a big achievement for that community as well. Basically any non-white, community, it is a big achievement.
That is a sophomore at the University of Texas. Some of the things she said I will agree with, and they bear repeating, and some she's going back in history. She's undoing everything that's been achieved. She's complaining that there is no longer going to be just a Black graduation ceremony. Well, and she says there's not much diversity in the overall ceremony. Well, there won't be diversity in the Black graduation ceremony, will there? But the most important thing that this young woman is missing, you're jumping back 40, 50 years in history when there was a policy and a basic belief in Texas. Believe me, I had relatives that grew up teaching me this, and they were all fine with it. And they assumed the other side was, quote, fine with it. And that is separate but equal. They have their place. They, speaking of the Black or minority people, they have their place and they're happy there, according to relatives I had that were white. And we have our place and we're happy here. And that is why you found water fountains on two different sides of a Disney Queen, one marked whites only. No diversity if it's whites only, right? The other side, colored only. No diversity there, unless you count white as colored, which they do in some countries, by the way, Africa in particular. But she wants to go back in history. She wants to undo everything. She wants to undo what Martin Luther King preached, that it's not the color of your skin we should be celebrating. I'm proud of the young woman as she gets her UT or any major university and graduates. We should be all proud. Why can't she do it with everybody? Everybody celebrates their graduation. Why should one particular color be separated out and have a separate graduation? You really want to do that? We already have gone back to segregated dorms on some university campuses. Now, when I went to college, I know, yeah, they had colleges. I mean, when we finished writing by the fireplace with our piece of coal on a piece of board, well, then we had to go to our dorm rooms, and women had their dorms and men had theirs. And, of course, when I later became a father and had daughters approaching college age, I'm looking at these universities that had mixed co-ed dorms, and no. I didn't know how they were laid out. I didn't know that supposedly one floor is only women, one floor only men. I don't know how they're doing it, and some. But what I feared would happen is exactly what I thought would happen if I had had the opportunity. I'm being honest with you. I remember specifically one time going to pick up a young lady, and I had to wait in the lobby, sign in at her dorm, and wait for her to come down. They would call up to her room and let her know I was there. I could not go past a certain door to go in there. And the same thing for the girls going into the men's room, men's dorms. But again, in this case, for graduation, this is for everyone that's achieved and earned that degree. Can they not all celebrate together? They attended classes together. If she really wants just a black graduation, may I suggest, and there are many of them that are very good, historically black universities and colleges. Excellent training and teaching at most of them that I know of. But she wanted to go to the University of Texas. Well, when you go to the University of Texas, you know it's meant to be wide open, regardless of gender, color, you're going to be all together. I think she mentioned Asians might have different. Again, no group should be, quote, segregated from the others. Now, here's something I had been complaining about University of Texas for some time with a grandson who was thinking about going there. I said, well, it's not the way it used to be. But, Papa, Austin is your home. I thought you'd like me to go to University of Texas. I said, at one time I would have. But it's changed because of over the decades, University of Texas trying to raise its prestige, brought in a bunch of Harvard professors and Yale professors. They brought their blue baggage with them, and then more followed them. And over the decades, it's become extremely blue. I said, and more importantly, you're going to have to defend yourself against your three cousins because they went to A&M, and they're a mortal enemy of University of Texas. So you're going to be battling them on a constant basis. Although some have told me now, even the Aggies are becoming kind of messed up. I find that hard to believe, but maybe so. I do note that the University of Texas at Austin president did announce yesterday the Division of Campus and Community Engagement is being dissolved. That is the DEI program. They're doing it to comply with a new state law. The Austin American Statesman reported that a person with knowledge about the situation said 60 positions related to DEI work were eliminated at UT in Austin. That's the main campus for the University of Texas. The new law mandates all governing boards of public colleges and universities ensure their institutions prohibit the establishment and maintenance of a DEI office and the issue of DEI statements. Can't even put stuff out on paper. Good. In addition, hiring practices and training are no longer, quote, able to use DEI statements. The statement is written by the University of Texas at Austin president. I recognize that strong feelings have surrounded SB 17, that's the one dissolving DEI in state schools, from the beginning, and I know it will shape many Longhorns' perceptions of these measures. It is also important that this continues to be a welcoming, supportive community for all. And he added, laid-off employees could apply for other positions at the universities. Well, it's back to where it was before you shoved DEI in the face of everybody. And you were promoting and hiring strictly on, do you buy into DEI? Great, then you're one of our. You know what DEI now stands for, in my opinion? DEI. Dumb equals idiots. DEI. Dumb equals idiots. That's what we've gotten to at this point. Congressman Dan Crenshaw, Texas, introduced a bill to freeze federal funding to college and universities that force students to sign or make statements on DEI issues. Good. In the meantime, the University of Florida last week fired all of its DEI employees. Could we possibly be turning the corner and moving away from this woke philosophy? God, I pray so. I do pray so. There's a former ESPN star that's been explaining how she got to do an interview with Biden, but she said, I was directed how and what to say in that interview with Biden. her story when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Mr. President, thank you for being here as we get set for a wonderful day in sports. Opening day for America's national pastime.
This was about 2 months after he took office. That was an interesting experience in its own right because it was so structured and I was told, you will say every word that we write out. You will not deviate from the script and go to the word. Like every single question was scripted, gone over dozens of times by many executives, editors and executives. Absolutely. I was on script and was told not to deviate. It was very much, this is what you will ask. This is how you will say it. No follow-ups.
No follow-ups.
Next.
No follow-ups. That's Sage Steele, former ESPN host, talking about her 2021 interview with Biden, how it was scripted. I mean, literally scripted. There are questions, and his answers were probably already pre-scripted. We'll come to that in just a moment. I've done, let me see, if I start counting the presidents, Nixon, Reagan, both Bushes, Ford, Obama, Lincoln. No, leave Lincoln out again. Anyway, several. And I did not one time submit questions in advance, nor was I told by my business owners how and what questions to ask. They might suggest some that they thought would be good, but once I sit down with them, I'm asking the question. And I'll follow up where I feel I need to and when I can, if I have the time. But Sage Steele said it was a totally structured interview. She continues.
I knew that this was a lot bigger than just the wonderful editors that I worked with. This went up to the fourth floor, as we said, where all the bosses, the top executives, the decision makers are, the president of our company, the CEO, where they all worked. The big picture to me is that I think it's heartbreaking. I think it's really heartbreaking that the people who love Joe Biden and say they truly care about him have allowed it to get to this point. So I'm not even looking at this from a political angle or my beliefs in anything. This is the human side of it. And when someone is struggling.
Now she's talking about Biden's capabilities. She is not suggesting his capabilities or incapabilities were a reason the interview had to be scripted. But she's reinforcing that, yeah, everything had to be stuck to as a script. I've not interviewed President Trump when he was president. Haven't interviewed him since. And if he becomes president, I'd like a chance to do it. But again, no one is going to tell me what to ask. Not even Donald Trump is going to tell me what I can or cannot ask. That's not fair to you, the listener. Every interview should be given integrity. I never told anyone during decades as a news journalist, not an opinion columnist, analyst as I am now with this program, I never told them specifically the question. I might give them general areas. Well, we're going to talk about the budget deal that you guys have been battling over, but I'm not going to get into details until we actually get into the interview. And yeah, I might have a couple that might be considered gotcha question because I want to see how they respond because I got information they didn't know I had. But for the most part, I know how they're going to respond. You already know before you ask. Sometimes you're just giving them a chance to state it, and now you've got it on tape, and you've got it for now and in the future. But not one time have I ever laid out questions except for one time, and it was not a president. It was a state legislator. They wanted to know exactly what I was going to ask and said, we don't do that. They said, we're not going to get any interviewed. We kept pushing and pushing. I said, okay, here are the questions. I laid it out and gave them those questions. Let them see them. And I asked one of those questions right off the top. And then I asked a couple that weren't on the page. Did they think I was going to follow the stupid script? Of course not. And even if I had, I said I will have to tell the audience you were not going to do any interview unless you saw the questions in advance. Do you want that look? But Sage has now opened the door to her concern about the health of Biden and the fact that his handlers, including Jill Biden, all of them are so enthroned in their power and control of it, they continue to shove him out there, wind him up, and see if he can just make it to the end of the stage without falling off.
And when someone is struggling, we allow them to continue to be in the spotlight and put them out there in the first place when they knew there were issues. Of course, they had to know. So it's a humanity thing with me where I don't care where anyone stands and what they vote in for or who they believe in. Do you really care about that person? As a father, as a husband, as a everything.
I think you could tell her true empathy for Biden being put in that situation. And condemnation, that's a word I'm choosing. She's not stating that, but of those who continue to put him in that position. They have no one else. They have no one else. She also said that her interaction with Biden was, quote, referring to his mental acuity, heartbreaking. Her words, heartbreaking. Coming up, the climate change lies exposed, and a lot more. You don't want to miss the second hour. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.